Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. America commemorates 18 years since the September 11 attacks. Trump joins events at the Pentagon. New York adopts a new law to ensure New Yorkers will never forget. Republican State Senator Dan Bishop wins special congressional election in North Carolina. The win comes after President Trump rallied for him in the state. White House allocates almost $1 billion to artificial intelligence research, aims to keep the United States in lead and ahead of China.
So today our goal is very clear. The uniquely American ecosystem must do everything in its collective power to keep America's lead in the AI race and build on our successes.
Hong Kong students join each other in human chains outside a school in hopes of protecting freedoms. 3 months of demonstrations continue, Hong Kongers not backing down. NTD reporter Jeremy Sandberg takes us on location in this exclusive report. Today, America mourns 18 years since the September 11 terrorist attacks. New York and Washington, D.C. held major events, and New York passed legislation to remember the 2,977 people who died in New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C.
President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania participated in an event at the Pentagon on Wednesday to commemorate the attacks.
The First Lady and I are united with you in grief. We come here in the knowledge that we cannot erase the pain or reverse the evil of that dark and wretched day. But we offer you all that we have, our unwavering loyalty, our undying devotion, and our eternal pledge that your loved ones will never, ever be forgotten.
Following a solemn performance by the U.S. military, President Trump and Melania observed a moment of silence beginning at 8:46 a.m., the time the first plane, American Airlines Flight 11, struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Members of Congress also observed a moment of silence outside the U.S. Capitol building and later sang "God Bless America." On September 11, 2001, 19 terrorists hijacked four passenger airplanes. They flew two into the World Trade Center and one into the Pentagon. The fourth was intended for Washington, D.C., but instead crashed in a field in Pennsylvania because of passenger efforts to thwart the attack. A new state law, approved by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Monday, established September 11th Remembrance Day. The law mandates public schools observe a moment of silence each year on September 11th. The White House American flag is currently flying at half staff.
New York City commemorated the 18th anniversary of the September 11 attacks. NTD's Miguel Moreno brings you the story from Ground Zero.
Hundreds of people, including survivors, first responders, politicians, and the family of victims, assembled at Ground Zero, where the observance began with a moment of silence and ringing of bells at 8:46 a.m., the time when the first hijacked plane slammed into the World Trade Center's North Tower.
We are here at what was Ground Zero, where 18 years ago today, the largest terrorist attack on American soil was carried out. Nearly 3,000 people died, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, and of course, first responders. And since then, the message here has remained the same, and that is to never forget.
Bells marked the tragic events of that day, when the planes made impact, when the Pentagon was hit, and when the towers fell. Many first responders were dispatched to Ground Zero that day, many of whom had no respiratory protection, a selfless sacrifice to save others amid the toxic dust. John was one of them.
We're firefighters. We know the risks when we sign on to do the job. Today is about those people in there. It's all about them.
The last bell rang at 10:28, indicating when the North Tower fell, followed by a moment of silence. Miguel Moreno, NTD News, New York.
Republican Dan Bishop won a special U.S. congressional election in North Carolina last night, turning back a vigorous Democratic challenge to save a longtime stronghold for the Republican Party.
The State Board of Elections said Bishop, a 55-year-old state senator for whom Trump campaigned, led Democrat Dan McCready, a 36-year-old veteran of the Marines, 50.81% to 48.59%, with 99% of precincts reporting. Trump flew to the district Monday night to rally the Republican base for Bishop. He tweeted yesterday that 3 weeks ago, when Bishop was down in the polls, he helped him change his strategy. Bishop said his victory should send a nationwide message.
The voters said no to the radical liberal policies being pushed by today's Democratic Party. But they said yes to America. Yes to more jobs, more freedom, more opportunity. They said yes to protecting life and our Constitution.
North Carolina's 9th Congressional District has been represented by Republicans in Congress since the 1960s and voted for Trump in 2016. But Democrats thought they had a chance to flip it. McCready lost by a slim margin in 2018. But that election was tainted by an absentee ballot fraud scheme, and officials ordered a new vote.
President Trump today announcing a change to funding options for faith-based historically black colleges and universities.
Trump said he had removed roadblocks to some 40 faith-based historically black colleges and universities from accessing federal funding for capital projects.
This meant that your faith-based institutions, which have made such extraordinary contributions to America, were unfairly punished for their religious beliefs.
Last month, the Department of Justice published an opinion saying that denying these institutions funding based on their religious affiliation was unconstitutional. It said it violated the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment, which protects religious beliefs and actions based on those beliefs. Holly Kellum, NTD News.
A new report is out, the Trump administration releasing a supplement to the president's 2020 budget, which allocates nearly $1 billion to research and development of artificial intelligence.
I'm pleased to announce that today the administration released a new supplement report to the president's FY 2020 budget, identifying nearly $1 billion in non-defense AI R&D.
An increase in the government's non-defense R&D budget for AI, as much as the total AI budget for 2016, which included both defense and non-defense agencies. This is also the first agency-by-agency report by the U.S. government. It's part of President Trump's executive order on maintaining American leadership in artificial intelligence.
So today our goal is very clear. The uniquely American ecosystem must do everything in its collective power to keep America's lead in the AI race and build on our successes.
A recent report by the Center for Data Innovation shows that the U.S. still leads AI in absolute terms, in terms of talent, research, development, adoption, data, and hardware. China comes in second, and the EU lags further behind. Trump administration, out of national security concerns, has also been trying to limit China's investments and control AI technology exports.
You know, since that list has come out, you know, Chinese investment, unsurprisingly, over the past year in the U.S. overall has dropped significantly.
Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
U.S. President Donald Trump has fired his national security adviser, John Bolton, amid disagreements over how to handle foreign policy challenges such as North Korea, Iran, Afghanistan, and Russia. Meanwhile, officials unveiled a new sanctions-focused counterterrorism executive order.
Trump posted to Twitter on Tuesday that he had informed John Bolton his services are no longer needed at the White House. He added that he would name a replacement next week.
John Bolton's priorities and policies just don't line up with the president's.
Bolton, Trump's third national security adviser, advocated a tougher approach on North Korea, Russia, and Afghanistan, and was also a chief architect of Trump's stance against Iran.
There were many times Ambassador Bolton and I disagreed, that's to be sure. But that's true for lots of people with whom I interact.
Trump's North Korea envoy, Stephen Biegun, is among the names floated as possible successors, as is Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan. The news came hours before Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo unveiled a new counterterrorism executive order that targets the financial system terrorists use to move money.
The new executive order, Modernizing Sanctions to Combat Terrorism, which was signed today, greatly enhances our ability to identify, sanction, and deter perpetrators of terrorism worldwide.
It applies sanctions to operators and financiers of 11 terrorist groups, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hamas.
The Pentagon has approved the extension of U.S. military deployment at the southern border. Pentagon officials confirmed today that troops can stay through the end of fiscal year 2020. Up to 5,500 personnel will provide support along the border as the country continues to experience an influx of migrants trying to enter the U.S. Students in Hong Kong joining hands in peaceful protest today, hoping the government will address their concerns. NTD's Jeremy Sandberg is on location to hear the sentiment among the students.
In a human chain outside their school, students sang in unity to peacefully appeal for Hong Kongers' five demands.
We don't want the majority of the Hong Kong people think we are the violent people who express their way very use something violent.
Most protesters wear masks, fearing retaliation from the Hong Kong government and the Chinese communist regime.
It's not violent, but people may recognize us and catch us to the police, and we are afraid to go back to China.
Different in Hong Kong and the mainland is we have freedom and we have democracy, we have the freedom of speech.
We didn't want Hong Kong to be independent, but we want to save Hong Kong, but we want the five demands.
Hong Kong's protests initially started over a controversial bill that would allow extraditions to mainland China, raising widespread concern the law would be abused given the mainland's record of rights violations.
Students feel this is a peaceful way to protest and express themselves and let the government and the police know how they feel.
It's peaceful, and this is the best way for students to protest to the Hong Kong government.
Some people using like us can using peaceful way, and some people might using some aggressive way, but they are also, we are also thinking the same way, that is fight for freedom. And
I think this is the way to let the government see our determination.
The movement has spread to include demands for police accountability, protesters to stop being called rioters, amnesty for those arrested during the protests, and greater democratic freedom.
I hope the government will listen to our voice, so we will stand here no matter what.
Don't be afraid to step up and express what you think on this issue.
After 3 months of demonstrations, Hong Kong citizens press on to secure their freedom and their futures. Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News, Hong Kong.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel told lawmakers today it's important to engage in dialogue with China, including about human rights.
Speaking to lawmakers during Parliament's annual budget debate Wednesday, Merkel stressed that Germany believes in the principle of one country, two systems for China and Hong Kong. During my visit, I again pointed out that upholding human rights is indispensable for us. This applies in general, and it also applies for the situation in Hong Kong, where we continue to view the principle of one country, two systems as a right one. Beijing rebuked Germany Tuesday for allowing prominent Hong Kong activist Joshua Wong to visit Berlin, where he met with Foreign Minister Heiko Maas. Germany's foreign ministry rejected the criticism, saying it was normal for the foreign minister to hold meetings with members of civil society and for the government to stand up for freedom of speech. NTD News.
Prominent Hong Kong democracy activist Joshua Wong pleading with Germany not to turn a blind eye. Protesters fear the region is turning into a police state following more than 1,300 arrests since June.
Speaking at a news conference in Berlin, Wong asked Germany to consider suspending the sale and export of riot weapons to Hong Kong police. He likened Hong Kong to Berlin in the Cold War and pledged that protesters will continue their fight for democracy and freedom.
3 decades ago, no one expected Soviet Union will fall. No one predicted the Berlin Wall will fall. With our passion and determination, We just hope to let the world to aware that Hong Kong people deserve democracy.
Fellow democracy activist Chongqing Kwong said that they were willing to pay the ultimate price.
After seeing fellow protesters and fellow Hong Kongers committed suicide to protest against the bill, seeing friends injured, seeing families being scared, I would say I am ready for all the consequences that may come with the fight that we are now in.
Wong further asked Germany to human rights on the agenda and consider sanctions to those who fail to live up to European ideals of human rights. Meanwhile, U.S. lawmakers yesterday introduced a new bill titled Protect Hong Kong Act to suspend sales of tear gas exports and crowd control technology to Hong Kong. The bill is proposed by bipartisan lawmakers. NTD News.
Up next, court rules UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson acted unlawfully. Lawmakers hope to get Parliament back in session and work out Brexit conundrum. Johnson claims he was not out of line after the break. China just waived import tariffs on more than a dozen U.S. goods for the first time since the U.S.-China trade war began.
The Chinese government issued tariff exemptions on 16 products, including shrimp, fish meal, and cancer treatment drugs. These exemptions are good for 1 year, starting next Tuesday. The trade war is weighing on the Chinese economy after the U.S. levied increasingly severe tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Chinese goods. Beijing has retaliated with its own tariffs on over 5,000 U.S. products, some of which have already taken effect. The move comes ahead of the next round of face-to-face talks in October between U.S. and Chinese officials in Washington.
Scotland's highest court has ruled British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament as unlawful. Judges say the Supreme Court should make the final decision.
In the early hours of Tuesday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson suspended Parliament for 5 weeks. With the October 31st Brexit deadline looming, many lawmakers say it's a tactic to run down the clock on Brexit.
Now, a Scottish court has ruled Johnson's suspension unlawful.
Therefore, the prorogation itself is unlawful.
It will escalate to the Supreme Court next week. Judges ruled in favour of a group of largely pro-Remain lawmakers.
Yes, Parliament should be recalled immediately so that we can deal with the crisis that is in front of the United Kingdom and so that we can get the necessary extension to the Brexit legislation and then move forward to have a general election.
Last week, lawmakers overrode Johnson's administration, passing a law that took the option of a no-deal Brexit off the negotiating table. Johnson is now forced to either strike a new deal with the EU before October the 19th or beg for an extension to negotiations. Johnson maintains he is following the convention of suspending Parliament before setting out a policy agenda as new Prime Minister. But Johnson's opponents and most political commentators say it gives less time to scrutinise his Brexit plans before the October 31st deadline at a time of political crisis. The government is to appeal against the ruling at the Supreme Court next Tuesday. Parliament is still shut for the moment and is scheduled to reopen on October the 14th. Jane Murrell, NTD News, London.
Apple announces the new iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro. Both products feature advanced cameras. Find out all the new features coming up. New footage from the Bahamas shows the devastation left behind by Hurricane Dorian. Video shot from a car tour shows a shattered Marsh Harbor, leveled houses, boats hurled across roadsides, and fallen trees across the Abaco Islands. According to the World Food Program, Hurricane Dorian damaged around 90% of the homes, buildings, and infrastructure on the island. Thousands of people are living in just a few buildings that survived the storm, including a government building, a medical center, and an Anglican church. But many have little to no access to water, power, and sanitary facilities. Some 70,000 people in need of food and shelter, and around $3 billion in insured property damaged or destroyed by Dorian. The worst disaster in the nation's history, Dorian killed at least 50 people, according to an island official. Today, Apple announced the new iPhone 11 along with some updates to its other products. NTD's Eiling Ang has more on the new features.
Apple announced the new iPhone 11 stainless steel and glass design with a dual camera system. It can now shoot in wide and ultra-wide mode with 12 megapixels. It also has a night mode for shooting in low light. The device comes in 6 colors: purple, yellow, green, white, black, and red. The company also announced iPhone 11 Pro, featuring a third camera on its device, a telephoto camera. It comes in 2 sizes and 4 finishes. Both shoot video in 4K at 60 frames per second. The videos can now also be edited in the device. The new A13 Bionic chip makes processing faster for rendering video and animation. Its low power design maintains the phone's battery life better. The company also announced Apple Arcade for subscription gaming, new shows on Apple TV+, a new iPad OS, and Apple Watch Series 5.
Pre-orders for the new iPhone start this Friday, and shipping starts September 20th. Eileen Ng, NTD News, Cupertino, California.
The film The Laundromat had its North American premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival. The dark comedy explores the world revealed in the Panama Papers, coming up after the break. Dark comedy The Laundromat delves into the murky world that was illuminated by the Panama Papers and had its North American premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival last night.
The film follows Ellen Martin, played by Meryl Streep, whose dream vacation takes a twist, taking on an unexpected journey that leads her to one Panama City law firm. The most shocking thing about the movie is that, unfortunately, the things that are happening are legal. That is to say, many governments have acquiescence with what is happening, and they leave a crack from where companies can get in. The movie is based on the book Secrecy World by investigative journalist Jake Bernstein. It details the leak of millions of confidential documents linking an offshore tax scheme to the world's richest and most powerful, one example being corruption in China.
There is a sequence about China which is based on a real story, and does, you know, is directly connected to the Panama Papers. The organ trafficking part of it is a teeny piece of it, but it's pretty accurate.
The movie is scheduled to be theatrically released on September 27th, then digitally streamed by Netflix on October 18th. Reporting by Eric Rusek, NTD News, Toronto.
Viola Davis is the newest face of L'Oréal Paris. The 54-year-old actress calls it a monumental moment.
Davis, who has appeared in the TV series How to Get Away with Murder and the film Fences, describes herself as a young scrappy girl who doesn't associate herself with beauty and femininity. Starting in October, Davis will appear on TV, digital, and print campaigns for L'Oréal Paris's Age Perfect line. She says she appreciates L'Oréal's moniker, I'm worth it, and that it's a mantra all little girls should be told. Previous ambassadors for L'Oréal Paris include Eva Longoria, Elle Fanning, Celine Dion, and Helen Mirren. NTD News.
And that's all for now. Join us again this evening for your NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer.